Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. This week, we've got a brilliant, brilliant show featuring Phoebe Schechter, born in America, now of dual nationality, came over to England to follow a career in horses and then saw an ad for NFL tryouts in the UK, and she's grasped it by both hands. We'll hear Phoebe's story, and then part two from JPB. Juan Pablo Benedetti, owner of Footplan Sports, one of the fastest growing female sports agencies in the world, telling us about, first of all, how he got to where he is, and now what he's doing for women in sport. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup, and we know you're going to love it. Well, hello everyone. This week with me, I've got a very special lady. She's done a lot of facets in the sport she's chosen. She's a former NFL player, is a former coach and still coaches, and she's now a TV pundit. It's Phoebe Schechter. Hi Phoebe, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on to chat with you today.
Oh, no problem. It's absolute pleasure. And I'm sure by the end of it, we'll all know it's a privilege. Thank you very, very much for that. Just want to obviously go through about you playing and coaching and now being on the television, which is a fantastic opportunity. But just if we go back to the start, really, Phoebe, just so people get to know you a bit better. You were obviously growing up in America. Were you brought up around American football, which gave you any hint that as an adult, this would be a major part in your life?
Not at all. My entire life has been dedicated to horses, and really, you know, I adopted my pony when I was 13 and she was only 4 months old. And for me, that's what I saw as my career path, is running and managing yards, wherever that was. It wasn't really until I moved to the UK over 10 years ago that I got involved in playing American football. And that was really because I was looking for a bit of American culture. And again, horses is pretty much 7 days a week. So I was looking for something that's a bit of a break. So a bit of a social scene outside of the horsey world. And I just think when you're out of your comfort zone, you're so much more willing to take risks. And I was 22 years old, living in a foreign country, essentially. So it all kind of was a big sign that there was a team about 20 minutes from me.
Wow. Amazing. As you said, you know, you were into horses, equestrian. What was your upbringing around them when you were younger?
So my mom is British, and that's how I have dual citizenship. So living in the States, that was something that she encouraged from me from a young age. And I think it's actually taught me and been a lot of the life lessons that I now carry to this day. You know, that whole, you fall off, you get back on, and
right,
responsibility. There's so many of those little things throughout my life, you know, from a young age, being responsible for something else and dedication and hard work, that plays a big role in what I do and who I am now. So yeah, none of my family are sporty at all. So I think they still are not sure exactly what I'm doing.
That's a great point you make, actually, the fact that it does provide great opportunity, because you know, most people, if they want to test their kids for, you know, responsibility, buy them a goldfish or a hamster. Whereas a horse is like proper work, isn't it? You know, it's morning, afternoon, evening, and yeah, a lot of mucking out, as they call it.
Precisely, precisely. And I think it's probably the greatest thing that could have happened to me. It gave me so much focus as well. You know, all I could do was think about going to go see my horse and, you know, dedicating myself to something that's greater than myself. That's really key, because I pretty much volunteered with horses. I went to a horse rescue starting at like age 10 and all the way up. So, you know, going there to care of 40 plus horses at a young age, you know, that's what you live. Find something that you're passionate about. And I think it kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow as well.
Absolutely. I know quite a few people in horses. One of my good friends is Holly Doyle, who's one of the best female jockeys on the planet, I think. And, you know, her dedication is amazing. So I know what it is like to look after a horse. That was obviously your main upbringing in life. You came to the UK, as you said, to pursue a career in equestrian. Obviously, there's great facilities over here for horses. Horses were obviously your first love. Was horses something, as you said, you've indicated you were sort of brought up in? And was it also because the opportunities for women in actual team sports wasn't as good at that time? Or was it always horses when you were growing up?
I think for me, it was always horses. You know, I put my heart and soul into whatever it was I was doing, and it was horses for me. I did play team sports growing up, and, you know, I was lucky that the schools I went to allowed me to play on the boys' team. So I played basketball on the boys' team. I played softball, cross country, lacrosse. Wow. So I played a bunch of different sports. And I think because of how I grew up, I never really cared about gender. So by that, I mean, I felt like I was just the same as everyone else. I felt like I was the same as the boys. And if anything, I was probably a bit too competitive and, you know, wanted to beat the boys at everything that I did, you know, that kind of attitude towards things. So I think as I grew up, because I always felt like I could do anything, you know, no matter the fact that I was a girl, that never even fazed me, to be honest. And I feel like because I felt that way, that now later in life, I'm like, yeah, so what? I might be the only girl in the room. Who cares? This has been my life since I was a young kid.
Yeah, I mean, what a great attitude to have. And that's one of the things we're trying to instill into the girls at football. So what if you're a girl? It doesn't mean you're any worse a player. So yeah, that's a brilliant attitude to have, something that every girl should really look up to if they're struggling for that confidence. So yeah, amazing, Phoebe, absolutely brilliant. And then after just a month in the UK, you saw a social media advert for tryouts at American football. What was it that made you go for that decision? Was it just the bit of culture that you said, or did you actually love the sport?
No, I did not love the sport, but I just thought, what a sign, right? I mean, literally, like you're saying, a month after moving here, there's trials in Manchester, 20 minutes from where I'm living.
Wow.
I mean, it couldn't have been the stars aligning anymore. You know, I still remember like sitting on my laptop and seeing that and thinking, oh my gosh, like I've got to do this. I'm going to go for this. Whilst having no clue about the sport itself or how it operates. And that's why I think it was something I've carried with me for so long now. Any of these opportunities, just go for it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? So what if you're not successful in it? You know, you probably learned from the experience. But if you don't give yourself the chance and you don't take that chance, you never know what could happen on the other side.
No. Again, brilliant, brilliant thing for any girl to listen to and take on board. You're a shining example, you know, just on how to achieve, just to go for things, really, you know, believe in yourself and go for things. So obviously it went well. I'd like you to talk about your career now, but things it included. You obviously played a sport at a good level. You played at national level for the British women's American football team, including a medal, a silver medal in the 2022 World Championship. So how amazing was that, the championships? But tell us a little bit about how your career unfolded to actually get you to that national level.
Yeah, so I think part of it is timing, right? Timing is everything. And when I started playing in this country 10 years ago, that's really when the sport for women was starting.
Right.
So I got in there right at the beginning, right in the infancy of the sport. And the national program was literally starting that same year that I got involved in it. So finding my position on the team and, you know, growing the game from going from 5-a-side up to the 11-a-side version that we play now, which is what everyone plays.
Yeah.
It's just been an incredible journey to be a part of. And I mean, it's fulfilled everything that I was looking for in terms of the social aspects, the kind of family aspects you get from sports, the competition and everything like that. So, you know, for us, I've been at every championship that we've had as a national program. I played tackle and I play the non-contact version, which is flag, and you know, the sport is still growing. So like last year when we went to the World Championships in Finland and came second, I mean, that was a huge achievement for us. No one had ever, apart from Canada, ever played the USA or made it to a final and played USA in a final. So that was massive, and we were tied 14-14 at halftime with USA. And, you know, they took off in the second half. But for us, it just shows the potential, because domestically, we're just moving up this year to 9-a-side football. But historically, we've been playing 7-a-side. So the pitch is much smaller. You know, the dynamics of the game are different. So we're building up to playing 11-a-side, which is key. And then this upcoming summer, well, actually even before that, we've got European qualifiers in the country. So in April, we play Sweden in Worcester, which will be very cool for us as a tackle team. And then we've got the European Championships in Ireland with flag football. So lots going on.
Lots going on, and you seem to be doing so well at everything. So it must be a very exciting time for you.
It is, and I think I've been fortunate to have really great people around me, and I have a great team, and I think, you know, part of it has also been a lot of sacrifice over the years,
yeah.
You know, so a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication to this sport, and
yeah.
A long time of not making any money, so it's nice, and even us as a sport, right, for us as women playing this sport, well, for anybody playing American football in the UK, you have to pay to play. So,
yeah.
You know, everything costs money. And I think to finally be in a spot where I'm like, at least I can afford to pay to play for my country is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. You're right. The same with football, soccer. You do have to pay to play at certain levels. And it is expensive, especially with families who've got more than one sibling. No, absolutely amazing, Phoebe. And the fact is, you're not only satisfied with playing, you also want to give back, which is another amazing trait to have. You started coaching in Manchester, which was fantastic. You picked that up early. But then you made the switch back to America and went for a college experience. How was that? And is that what really developed your love for coaching, or just did it enhance it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, going to the US and coaching out there, again, just went out there, lived on my head coach's, in the basement of my head coach's house, and,
yeah.
You know, would run to work, you don't make any money, and
no.
That's all part of it, right? Like, what are those survival stories that you
yeah.
can build? But I think putting yourself to be around great humans that you can learn from, I think that's really what struck my love for it. There are no opportunities in the UK where you can be a full-time American football coach. So to be able to go out there and do that was really exciting, and it absolutely sparked my love for it. And I just thought, this is the world I want to live in. This is what I want to do. I want to help people, and I want to be surrounded by this elite mindset for as long as possible.
In your time there, you applied for the Bill Walsh Diversity Fellowship Program and gained an opportunity with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity was that, and how did that make you feel?
Yeah, that was just incredible. You know, I remember a year before that basically saying, I want to coach in the NFL one day,
yeah.
Right? And I'm a big believer now of saying, whatever it is that you want to do, say it out loud, tell people about it, because they might think of you in that moment, oh, you know, John said he wants to do this, or so-and-so said they want to do that. But if you don't tell people what your goals are or your dreams are, then you don't know, you could be missing out on people helping you. And so when I finally got the opportunity and went through the rigorous interview process to be with the Bills, I remember my first coaches meeting. It was like a staff meeting, essentially.
Yeah.
And just hanging on every word that our head coach was saying, Sean McDermott, because everything he was saying, I was like, this is how I feel. I believe in everything. Like, we have the same values, the same mindset. And I think that's so key when you're joining any organization, whether
yeah.
you're playing or within a work perspective, you want to have the same vision and pull in the same direction. And to be able to be like that with him and with a professional outfit, it was just amazing. It's all about that kind of top-down thought process, and I think having a female owner helps that. You know,
yeah.
you bring in people that have the same mindset. Coach McDermott himself has two young girls, and I think having daughters changes your outlook on the world. So it was just a non-stop learning experience for me. Yeah. You know, I had my ups and downs, don't get me wrong, but the learning, and you can never forget like the actual experience of it.
Absolutely. And I presume it's one that you just, without even thought, just grabbed it with both hands.
100%. I mean, I remember that phone call with Sean, and he basically, you know, on the call said, you're talking to anybody else, say thank you, but you're going to be a Bill now. And that still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, I can see. I can see the smile. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, on the positive side as well, for an organization like the Bills, and I don't say this in any sort of demeaning way to women, but to offer an opportunity to yourself, that's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? But do you still think there's much, much more that needs to be done, not only in American football, but in all sports for women?
Big time. And I think that the NFL has done a really nice job of setting the example of what you can achieve and what you do if you're intentional with, you know, creating these pathways. But we look in the UK and you look at football, you look at, as in soccer, you look at rugby and other sports, and there's so much more that needs to be done. And for a lot of us, you know, and I say us in the sense of anybody who's never worked in elite sport, you don't know what that looks like or what that feels like and what the standard is. And if you don't know what that is, how do you know what you're working towards?
Yeah.
You know, you're just kind of fishing in the dark, essentially. So I think creating opportunities where people get to shadow and be around these different environments is key. But I think part of that comes with not being afraid to have diversity within your organization, diversity of thought, diversity of actual beliefs and skin color and gender. And I think we're still in a world that people are afraid and they don't want to lose their jobs or their roles and they don't want to be replaced by other people.
No, absolutely, Phoebe. And as you know, we create opportunities for girls in soccer or football over here, they call it in the UK, and we send girls to trials directly, showing them a pathway to a career. Just speaking to you and having watched you on the television, you're clearly a role model. Do you take it upon yourself to be that person, one of the flag bearers for women that have achieved, and to show young girls that anything is possible?
I think it's kind of happened by accident, to be honest. Like, it was never that I set out to be in this role, but I think I'm aware of the platform that I have, and I'm aware of the opportunities that I could create. And, you know, even when I was in Buffalo, I was very conscious that I was one of the first people to doing that role. And it was so important for me to make sure that others would follow after me. It doesn't matter if I'm the first or whatever, and I'm there. If no one shows up after me, if no one gets opportunities after me, then I've not done my job. So I think it's important that, you know, for myself, for my teammates, for anybody that's in a position to be able to inspire the next generation. And sometimes even these young girls, they may not realize it, but they're inspiring a generation. They're inspiring their friends. So just being aware of how you present yourself and how you can impact on someone else's life is really, really important. And I try my best at, you know, whether I'm in everyday life or TV or practice, like, that I'm always going to put my best foot forward, because I want to make sure that people see you can be anything that you want to be if you put your mind to it.
That's brilliant. A couple of really good points there, Phoebe, that you make is that as a football coach, I do remind myself, not that I need reminding, but I do consciously remind myself that I am quite an important figure in a lot of the girls' lives that we coach. You know, we're not the parent, we're not the teacher, but they come to us for extra training. So it's not only what you say to them in football, it's what you say to them in general. But something you really, really did, and I've learned something today, is the fact that they inspire their friends. And I haven't looked at it like that. And that's another way I can give them responsibility, by saying they do inspire their friends, because some of their friends may only come to football because of them. But also the way they conduct themselves is a good thing. So thank you for that. Tell us how important, quickly, you feel your role as a coach is.
I think that my role as a coach is key because, first off, like, I want people that look like me to feel like they have the opportunity to coach and inspire others. And I think coaching is so key because you get to literally help people develop. You help people grow. You help them achieve things in their lives that perhaps they never thought were possible. So, you know, I think I'm very grateful to be able to be in that position, whether it's young men or women or adults or whoever that is. You know, finding a way that I can add value to someone's life is really key.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. That's an absolutely lovely thing to say. And, you know, again, something that any girl, any youngster really, but any girl would take heart from. So, we've briefly touched on your coaching and your playing, and I'd like to get you back on at some time to do other things on the radio. But you're now a pundit on Sky Sports. Another tremendous opportunity. And if I may say, you were absolutely brilliant at the Super Bowl. Great coverage. You seem to have a great time, and who wouldn't? And what a tremendous match, by the way. You seem to have done a lot in American football. What's left for you to do?
Oh, man, you know, hopefully I can take a flag football team to the Olympics. That would be pretty cool.
Yes.
I'd love to coach in that respect. But I really want to just find ways to keep developing, keep creating opportunities for young girls to get involved in sport, keeping pathways open to get more women into coaching. You know, I feel like there's always a ton that I want to do. You know, I want to do more within the punditry, broadcasting world. I really enjoy finding a way to translate the game to the public. And I've loved the conversations I've had with people over the past year, just chatting about the sport. And, you know, it's given me a new lease on life in terms of watching the game, breaking it down, You know, I watched the game with Jason and Neil, much different to how I just watched it if it was on TV at the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's been pretty cool to be able to analyze a sport that I love so much and share my passion with others.
Yeah, no, fabulous. And it's like it transcends through the screen that you're having a great time. And, you know, as you said, you're learning on the job as well, which is unbelievable experience. So we'll just take you away from you at the moment and we'll play a little bit of fantasy American football. For someone who's not an expert in it, and I don't profess to be an expert, I do actually love the game, watching it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were at the Super Bowl, and you saw, again, who perhaps the untrained eye would consider could potentially be the greatest quarterback ever to play the game, Patrick Mahomes. You actually saw him in action. Whether he was on one leg or not, he still commanded the second half. Do you think he could be that good, like the greatest ever? And how good is he actually to see in the flesh?
I mean, he is. Magic, right? We always call him Magic Mahomes or Mahomes Magic, and he is exactly that. I think some of those skill sets, and Jalen Hurts has them as well, but intangibles of the mindset that he brings, the confidence, the leadership, the command he has, the interactions with his teammates, and watching him hobble off at halftime, like he literally ran right by me and breathing out so heavy every step when you're in that much pain.
Yeah.
To come back out in the second half and just put all that behind him, dominate the second half is just incredible. And just think about, you know, he's still so young and the amount of experience and how much he's seen and done so far and 2 Super Bowls. I mean, it's unheard of. So, yeah, I think he is incredible. He's got a great future ahead of him, and he's going to continue to keep the AFC a bit of a challenging spot for the next few years.
No, you're right. Again, a couple of great points you bring up. He does play with a great coach and a great tight end, as we all know. But it is him that magically draws it together. And he did dominate that second half. But again, you also brought up Jalen Hurts, who, again, being the untrained eye, I knew he was good, but he really surprised me. His first half was sensational, wasn't it? And he nearly pulled it out the bag as it was at the end as well. Do you see him, again, improving? Because Mahomes just seems that it's still not good enough. He still wants to go and achieve and achieve and achieve. Can Jalen Hurts almost dominate the NFC, or is that a little bit harder?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the AFC is harder in terms of, you know, looking at the other quarterbacks you have there. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lawrence, all those guys. I think Jalen Hurts is a really big opportunity. And you look at him from last year where they just kept saying he couldn't throw the ball to this year where he's been dominating through the air.
Yeah.
Again, with a shoulder injury, the way that he was able to still manage to challenge a defense when you've got so many different styles of running backs. And, you know, I'd say in that game, there were a couple out of character drops by his receivers, which, you know, led to perhaps where it was. And then he had that one play that was returned by Nick Bolton on the Chiefs for a touchdown. I mean, these are just moments in a game, but they add up to create that final result. I mean, they had an absolute opportunity to be able to dominate, that's for sure. But it was such a good game. We were so lucky to have such a competitive game, which is what we thought it would be.
Yeah, it was great. And you mentioned Joe Burrow there, who sadly for him might have to sit in the second seat behind Mahomes for a long time, but he's another fantastic quarterback. Sadly, we're pretty much come to the end of the interview for the radio, Phoebe, but could you just let us know, so a little bit of advice for people who want to either get into media or into sports, just a couple of things they can take away, something they should always focus on?
I think absolutely you should reach out to people and ask for help. I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. If you're looking to get into media, reach out to someone who's in media. Ask them how they got there, what their steps were. None of us got to where we are without the help of others, and I think we can't forget that. So never feel a way about asking people for help. And secondly is just believe in yourself, right?
Yeah.
We all have different skill sets in this world, and I think understanding what those skill sets are and figuring out what you want to do with them later in life is absolutely fine. I mean, goodness, I started in horses and now I'm in broadcasting with American football.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to try as many things as possible and see what you fall in love with.
Brilliant. Well, sadly, as I say, it's come to the end today. I really hope we can have you on again. You've been sensational. So for today, Phoebe Schechter, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been terrific.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, thank you, Warren. Absolutely fabulous. So we've done your football career. We're going to now move on to what you're doing now and how you got into that. You did allude earlier to the fact that you were already had your contact with agencies and you were managing your network really well. Did you go straight from not playing into this?
Obviously, when I started internationally, I already got that interest from agencies and so on. And I started making my own connections. Not only especially because my dad was an ex-professional player, but also from my, but I wanted to get my own name, my own last name, and having my own personal connections. So I was also interested in that. That's why perhaps my head wasn't only focusing on being a professional footballer, because I got interested in other business sides as well. And I started making connections with people from USA, Canada, everywhere I played, obviously.
Yeah.
And collaborating with agencies, because since I stopped playing or focusing on being professional, I was still being involved in football. And I had many connections in football, like old friends who were still active and they weren't close to being professional. So I got the connection from those players into new agencies and so on. And I started building my own network related to all the agencies.
It sounds great. So you obviously went into becoming an agent yourself.
Yeah.
Where did you focus on first? Was it straight into the women's game or did you start off with men?
No, I started really young with men's in football. I've been men's football years involved already.
Yeah.
But obviously collaborating with other companies, big companies, but wasn't always, never was my name on any paper because I was on the backside of the office working and perhaps building the connection with the athlete or the connection with the clubs I had and so on. But it was all working for someone else, you know what I mean? It was on the backside of everything that was involved. But it was nice because I got the experience of the male side, which are things that are doing, which are good, but most are bad, to be fair. There are some things I've read done in male football that I don't like.
Right.
That's why years after, when I was more tired of being involved in those sort of things, in fact, I don't even like the name of agent. I would just call myself a businessman or call the other because I don't like or even represent someone. I just help athletes and provide them support. And I will say that providing support will be the best to describe someone who wants to help athletes who achieve their best. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Agents are more like the representation of, and I don't represent no one, just advise athletes to achieve their best.
Yeah, I agree. There is a what we call over here a stigma about the word agent.
Exactly,
it's not good. Not all of it's good, is it? That's a problem.
Exactly. I don't like to be called an agent, to be honest.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, and I totally agree. I mean, what you want to do is just enable anybody that you work with or in a way represent or advise, as you said, to achieve their best off the pitch so they can focus at getting their best on the pitch.
Exactly.
Brilliant. No, absolutely agree. So you've mentioned that you didn't really like some of the things that happened in the men's game. I mean, the men's game's massive, isn't it, really? When you come down to it, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on that we don't agree with because of just the enormity of it. But it's a good time to get into the women's game, isn't it? It's growing.
I think it was a fantastic time because I think it's growing. I think, obviously, from my point of view, I see it differently. I see it more of the business.
Yeah.
And I see the potential of women athletes, not only football, women athletes in general in any sports, being the main public image of brands and so on. For example, I see the beneficial of being involved in those sort of areas. In fact, I'm trying to be involved in many sports because I have connections in most of the sports.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get more of that business side of just being connected, having the connection with athletes or the best athletes in different sports and connecting them in different brands, helping them to grow their image, help them to make a clear path to becoming more professional and be the greatest. So it's like, it's easier for me because I saw years before the growth of not only women's football, but I would say women's sports in general.
You're right. Just from knowing you, Juan, I can safely say that the discussions that I've had with you and with a couple of athletes that I know, you don't just provide what you would call a football agent, what they do. That's why you're right. Agent isn't the right word. You actually look at what they've got now, how you can improve that, don't you? Whether it be social image, whether it be a moral cause that they support, and also plan for their future. So you really do look after the athletes that you deal with.
Our company focused on women. It's called FuPlan.
Yeah.
Because it's future planning. It comes from future planning. It comes from because I see, for example, that women athletes are growing and so on, but they're still growing on their salary, but they still think they need to think of the future.
Yes.
And if you don't have a team helping you in all those sort of aspects that you don't have to think of, because you have to be only focusing on showcasing your talent on a weekly basis, you need to have a team working for all those aspects. There are many things to take into account that need to be worked on, and you have to improve in order to have more income, in order to have plans for short-term and long-term, in order to be more relaxed once you're close to your career or you're done your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know in my lifetime that women's salary will never be the same as men when it comes to football. And I think you've alluded to this already with the brands. Are you finding that brands are more and more wanting women to represent them or their products rather than men?
Yeah, I think brands, if of my vision of business, they should be investing more. They are investing more in women's image. I think we'll get to a point where the best brands worldwide, there will be a woman figure who is the main image of the corporation.
Yeah.
That is great. But also, it will be like that if there are companies who work like we think of, for example, because it's not only being Serena Williams, you're one of the best athletes.
Yeah.
You don't have to just only be the best athlete in any sports to be the image of a corporation. I think you have to have values behind that image, social values, in order to have more attraction from brands, because any corporation has their own brand, but they have values that attached to their corporation.
Yeah.
So you have to be linked to the same sort of values in order to grow your image. You have to have value, not only be an athlete.
Yeah.
You have to have way more than that. So it's like, if you work on that and you help the athletes achieve those things, obviously all of the sports, not only football, but all the sports in women's will be receiving that growth and sort of support of the companies. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And obviously providing more options for the athletes, because they're still growing the salaries, and I think it will continue growing.
Yeah.
I'm managing salaries that are now in women's football, but they're in men's football as well. So it's fantastic to hear that. And I think it will continue growing. I don't think it will be equally right now or in the short term. But as long as the companies get involved and there are more fans involved in the women's football and they generate the same income that the males do, then they will be receiving the money. It's a matter of generating and trying to help to generate the same income
yes.
that the male's football receives in women's in order to yeah. make that happen.
That's a great point. It's not all about salary. It's about working hard and creating opportunities that they can still earn extra money from. So that's fabulous. So I know FootPlan's been open a couple of years and you've driven it forward tremendously. You look after a few players, two Spanish players. I know you've got another player in the WSL, but you've got two Spanish players who represent two of the bigger clubs in the WSL over here. What's your plans, though? What's your vision and future for FootPlan Sports?
I think our vision is to move forward helping female athletes. It doesn't matter the sport, because we have connections in all the sports.
Yeah.
Especially in football, because I've been, to be honest, way more years in football. So I have more connections and make it more easier for the players. But I will be focusing on women's athletes to grow, because it's not only helping the athletes, because it's what I'm doing for the athletes also helps the game.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything that I do for the athletes that we are representing right now is not only helping the player, but also helping the women's football, in fact, to become better. Because our goal is to have athletes and make them celebrities. And yeah. the stars who are already big names, for example, that we still work with, that we don't need to have just a new player and help them be professional, for example. But stars that we can also collaborate that are already well-known, make
yeah.
them reach the highest point. Not just stay there because you're already well-known yeah. and so on. The quote that we always say is like, we make athletes to become celebrities
yeah.
and get stars to reach the highest points, because that's our goal, to make them reach the highest possible way and achieve their goals in all the sort of ways, not only sports speaking, but also in relations of the incomes that they receive, in the social value and the impact that they have in the society, all those things which are really important.
I mean, amazing. Just basically from what you describe, you're not only helping the athletes you're working with, you're almost creating a better pathway for up-and-coming athletes that work with you or whether they don't work with you.
So, exactly. It's helping the game because as long as we help, the game is going to grow. It's for everyone. We don't have to think of our athletes and forget about the game, because if we help the game, then we help our athletes as well.
Absolutely, and what a great point to end today's interview on. JP, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'd love you to come back on again soon just to tell us about how things are going, new ideas, how you feel the women's game's growing. It's very important to me, that. So I just want to say, JP Benedetti, all the way from Barcelona in Spain, Footplan Sports, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sean, for your time. I appreciate you having me on your show, and we'll speak soon then.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, darts, rugby, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf. The PGA Tour hosted the Players' Championship, widely considered the fifth major of the year, from the Players' Golf Club using the Stadium Course. That is in Sawgrass, Florida. It was won by New World number one Scottie Scheffler, who won the tournament on minus 17, five shots clear of Tyrrell Hatton, the English golfer who charged through the field to finish on minus 12, with a three-way tie between Tom Hoagie and Victor Hovland on minus 10. This week it's the Valspar Championship from the Copperhead Course in Florida. Just a note about Jon Rahm, who was the world number one. He was situated nicely on minus one after one round, but had to pull out after getting a stomach virus, so poor Jon Rahm, we wish him happy health and getting better soon. The DPW Tour featured the magical Kenya Open from the Mataiga Country Club in Nairobi. It was won by Jorge Camprillo on minus 18, two shots clear of Masharamu Kawamura on minus 16, and a two-way tie between Rio Hitsutani and Santiago Tarrio on minus 15. This week it's the STC Lynx Championship from St. Francis Lynx Course in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. The LPGA is back next week, and the LET Tour had the Investec South African Women's Open from the Steenberg Golf Course in Cape Town, and it was won by hometown hero Ashley Buhai. Horse racing, and we are now at the biggest week in the National Hunt Jump season. It's the greatest show on earth, the Cheltenham Festival. Over the last 2 weeks, we've given you two really fancied horses for each day that we think would almost pretty much be bankers. And today we're going to give you three to look out for at slightly bigger prices. Not huge prices. All the value has gone on ones that we gave you last year. Facil Vega, we hear, is back to form after a disappointing run. He will take the Supreme Novice hurdle if he's back to form. And then two to look out for in the stayers. Two new young guns, two from Ireland, Blazing Carl and Home by the Lee. The Imperial Cup last weekend at Sandown was won by ICO, trained by Paul Nichols, ridden by Harry Cobden. They're going for the big money double, more than likely in the county hurdle. The Lincoln Trial at Wolverhampton was won by Al Reb, ridden by Danny Muscat. Second, Unforgotten. And they will probably both go straight to the Lincoln, back on grass at Doncaster on the 1st of April. the Darts Premier League was week six last week from the M&S Arena in Liverpool, and it was won for the first time ever in Premier League history by Michael van Gerwen. He beat Michael Smith 6-3 in the final. He took 5 points, Michael Smith 3 points. The two beaten semi-finalists, Peter Wright and Nathan Aspel, both got 2 points, and it was Peter Wright's first points of the whole competition. The top four that go through to the semi-finals and finals at the end of this tournament series is led by Michael van Gerwen. He has 20 points. Second place Michael Smith, he has 12. Third place Nathan Aspinall, he has 11. Gerwen prizes fourth on 8. This week, week 7, is at the Motorpoint Arena in Nottingham. The Rugby Six Nations had some interesting results. This week, in what was week 4 of 5, Italy 17, Wales 29, England 10, France 53. An absolute drubbing at Twickenham. Stuart Borthwick's come in. He's dropped 3 key players in the last 3 matches. This time, notably, former captain Owen Farrell. And I think it backfired. England 10, France 53. What a beating. And then Scotland 7, Ireland 22. The table is led by Ireland, who have won 4 from 4, have 19 points with a points deficit of 66. France a second, 15 points with again a points deficit of 46. Scotland and England are joint on 10th. Scotland's points deficit is 8. England's is minus 22. Week 5 of 5 to wrap it up this week is Scotland versus Italy, France versus Wales and Ireland versus England. The only way France can win is if they beat Wales convincingly with a bonus and England win in Ireland, which looks very unlikely, specifically with Ireland going for the Grand Slam. On to motorsport. MotoGP had a test, as we know, at Portimao, and the test results are Frankie Bagnaia, current world champion, led the way for the Ducati Lenovo team. Johann Zarco, last minute, popped into second for the Ducati Pramac Racing team. And Fabio Quartararo had a very consistent 2 days, finished third overall for the Monster Energy Yamaha team. Race 1 is on March the 26th, the Portuguese Grand Prix from the Algarve International Circuit. World Superbikes are back on the 21st and the 23rd of April with the Pirelli Dutch Round from Assen. The series is already being dominated by Alvaro Bautista on the Ducati Aruba IT machine. He's won 5 out of the 6 races and was shunted off the track in that 6th one. British Superbikes had their official test in Navarro in Spain, with 2 more in the UK, leading up to the first round on the 7th to the 9th of April from Silverstone. Speedway, as we said before, the Grand Prix series starts on April the 29th with the Croatian Grand Prix, and all the domestic leagues are starting to get ready for the season. NASCAR, it was the Ruelf Mortgage 500 from Phoenix Raceway, and it was won by William Byron, driving a Chevy Camaro for Hendrix Motorsport. Ryan Blaney was second, driving the Ford Mustang for Team Penske, and Tyler Reddick was third in the Toyota Camry for 23XI Racing. Alex Bowman leads the way, driving the Chevy Camaro for Hendrix Motorsport. He's on 154. Kevin Harvick in the Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas Racing is second, just 3 behind on 151. And Ross Chastain, Chevy Camaro also, but this time for Trackhouse Racing, is a further 3 points back on 148. This week it's the Fields of Honour Quick Trip 500 from Atlanta Motor Speedway. IndyCar, they're back on the 2nd of April with round 2 for the PPG 375 from Texas Motor Speedway. Formula E are back on the 25th of March with round 6 and the Brazilian E-Prix from Sao Paulo. And Formula 1, this week sees round 2. The Saudi Arabian Grand Prix from the Jeddah Cordish Circuit. Will it be another Red Bull Masterclass? Fernando Alonso, will he continue his amazing form? Look out for him in the Aston Martin and his teammate, the recovering to health Lance Stroll. And will Ferrari and Mercedes be as disappointing? On to NBA and some important results from this week. Mavericks 120, Jazz 116, Lakers 112, Grizzlies 103, Pelicans 113, Mavericks 106, Celtics 115, Trailblazers 93, Heat 100, Cavaliers 104, Nuggets 96, Bulls 117, Clippers 108, Raptors 100, Grizzlies 131, Warriors 110, Bucks 118, Nets 113, Kings 122, Knicks 117, 76ers 120, Trailblazers 119, Timberwolves 123, Nets 124, Heat 119, Cavaliers 115, Lakers 122, Raptors 112, Hawks 125, Celtics 134, Grizzlies 112, Mavericks 108, Warriors 126, Bucks 116, Suns 119, Kings 128, Nuggets 120, Nets 122, and Lakers 108, Knicks 112. So, as we always give you the top 10 for both conferences, the top 6 being the automatic qualifiers for the playoffs, and 7 through 10 being the play-ins with a series of playoffs. 7th plays 8, winner goes straight into the playoffs. 9 plays 10, and the winners then play the losers of the 7 plays 8 game for the final 8th spot in those playoffs. The East is led by the Bucks on 48 and 19. Celtics are second, 47 and 21. 76ers are third, 45 and 22. Cavaliers are fourth, 43 and 27. Nets are fifth, 39 and 29. Knicks are sixth, 40 and 30. Yes, the same record as the Nets with one more win. However, in NBA, it's gone on games lost. They're the top six, 7 through 10. Heat are seventh, 36 and 33. Hawks are eighth, 34 and 34. Raptors are ninth, 36 and 33. And the top 10 is rounded up by the Bulls on 31 and 36. In the West, the Nuggets are still way clear, 46 and 22. The Kings are second, 40 and 26, tied with the Grizzlies on the same score. The Suns are fourth, 37 and 30. The Clippers are fifth, 36 and 33. And the Warriors now back into the playoffs. They are 35 and 33. The Timberwolves and the Mavericks are joint 7th on 34 and 34. And then we've got four teams for two places of 9th and 10th, all tied in 9th place. The Jazz, the Thunder, the Pelicans and the Lakers, who are coming back to some great form since the trade, where they got rid of star player Russell Westbrook, traded a couple of other players and got some real good, hard-working, decent scoring backups. They've lost LeBron James for a couple of weeks, who sprained his ankle. Anthony Davis is stepping up to the plate. And they're rising up the tables, and I wouldn't be surprised if they could even make the top six. Who knows? Some important fixtures coming up as we come to the close of the regular season where those playoffs and play-ins are decided. They've all played round about 65 to 70 games with 82 regular season. Mavericks versus the Grizzlies. Rockets versus the Celtics. Kings versus the Bucks. Warriors versus the Suns, Raptors versus the Nuggets, Pelicans versus the Lakers, Trailblazers versus the Knicks, Suns versus the Bucks, Heat versus the Grizzlies, Timberwolves versus the Celtics, Bulls versus the Kings, Rockets versus the Lakers, Clippers versus the Warriors, Nets versus the Kings, Bucks versus the Pacers, Cavaliers versus the Wizards, Spurs versus the Grizzlies, Trailblazers versus the Celtics, Lakers versus the Mavericks, Knicks versus the Nuggets, Wizards versus the Kings, Grizzlies versus the Warriors, Jazz versus the Celtics, and the Nets versus the Knicks in the New York Derby. Football and the Premier League. Results, match day 27. Bournemouth 1, Liverpool 0. Leeds 2, Brighton 2. Everton 1, Brentford 0. Leicester 1, Chelsea 3. Tottenham 3, Nottingham Forest 1. Crystal Palace 0, Manchester City 1. Manchester United 0, Southampton 0. In a hugely controversial match, with star man being the referee Anthony Taylor, who it seemed a bit like anything but United at the weekend. However, teams just need to move on from that, but it does make you question referees, viewing of games, and also VAR. West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1, Fulham 0, Arsenal 3. Arsenal are just relentless. Perfect performance again. Absolutely brilliant team play. Saka and Odegaard, fantastic. And they are just a wonderful team. Newcastle 2, Wolverhampton 1. Some catch-up fixtures in the week. Southampton versus Brentford and Brighton versus Crystal Palace. Match day 28 sees a depleted fixture list due to the FA Cup quarterfinals. Nottingham Forest versus Newcastle. Brentford versus Leicester. Southampton versus Tottenham. Aston Villa versus Bournemouth. Wolves versus Leeds. Chelsea versus Everton. And Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. Those FA Cup quarterfinals. Manchester City versus Burnley. Sheffield United versus Blackburn. Brighton versus Grimsby. And Manchester United versus Fulham. The WSL saw match day fixtures 15 and the results were Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0. Another close game, another controversial penalty decision not given to Manchester United. Brighton 1, Manchester City 2. Liverpool 2, Tottenham 1. Leicester 0, Everton 0. West Ham 1, Aston Villa 2. And Arsenal 4, Reading 0. Chelsea lead the way now with 37 points from 14 games from a tied Manchester United and Manchester City, both second on 35, having played 15 games, but Manchester United's superior goal difference of 29 to 18 sees them in second, with Arsenal in fourth, played a game less, 3 points behind. So as the race for the top three hots up, out of four teams, we have one catch-up fixture, and that's Tottenham versus Leicester. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, the end of another brilliant show. Two different sides of the spectrum, sports star and media, to agent, a man responsible to further the careers and after careers of players and athletes. Phoebe Schechter from Sky Sports Media now still plays American football for Team GB, a brilliant ambassador, and what an inspiration Phoebe has done through hard work, grit, determination and mobility. And then we move on to JPB from Footplan Sports, Juan Pablo Benedetti, who set up Footplan Sports, a fast-growing agency doing the best it can to offer highly talented sports women throughout the world a better option and better care. I also want to say thank you to you, the listeners. You keep us on the air. And to Johan, Rafaela and the team from UK Health Radio for giving this amazing platform. We'll see you all next week.